Hey there. You're listening to This Song, the podcast where artists talk about the songs that formed and transformed them. I'm your host, Elizabeth McQueen, and this week on This Song, we'll be hearing from Leslie Sisson, Rosie Casto, and Kara Tillman of the Austin indie dream rock band Moving Panoramas. But before we get started, I want to let you know that South by Southwest starts this Friday. What? And we here at KUTX, the radio station where we make this podcast, well, we will be in lots of places during the festival. If you're a festival attendee, you can come see me interview Amanda Palmer in front of a live audience. That's happening Tuesday, March 11th at 11 a.m. in the Brazos Room at the JW Marriott. But if you aren't attending the festival, then you don't have to worry. KTX has got you covered. We'll be throwing an early morning music party at the Four Seasons, March 13th through the 16th. You can come and see artists you know, like Wyclef Jean and Andrew Bird, and discover cool artists, like our February Artist of the Month and former This Song interviewee, Bayonne, and our current Artist of the Month, and subject of this episode, Moving Panoramas. I'll post a link to all of our South by Southwest happenings on the show notes page for this episode at KUTX.org so you can know where to find us in all of the madness that is South by Southwest. So yes, Moving Panoramas are the Artist of the Month for March here at KUTX. Every month we choose a different Austin band to focus on. We play their music on the air. We have them come in for a live set in Studio 1A. We bring them in to do a My KUTX guest DJ set and we do a This Song with them. This will actually be the second time Moving Panoramas has been the KUTX Artist of the Month. The first time was like 4 years ago, but in the in-between years, the band has changed, like, a lot. I mean, the number of members in the band has doubled, going from 3 to 6. Drummer Karen Sloss left the band, and they added 3 men. It used to be an all-female band. Bassist Jordan Revell, drummer Jody Suarez, and steel guitar player Phil Majunkins. Rosie Casto, the original bass player, left the band for a while and then returned to play guitar. They added Kara Tillman as a vocalist and an instrumentalist. And y'all, Kara has this like crazy vocal range, probably the most incredible of anyone in Austin. And as can be expected, doubling the size of the band, like, changes the sound. It's bigger, it's more expansive than the earlier incarnations of Moving Panoramas. But at the core of the band are Leslie Sisson's gorgeous, emotional songs. You can hear the new incarnation of the band on their latest record, Into. It just came out at the end of February. And obviously, we dig Moving Panoramas here at KUTX. We've been playing the new record a bunch, and hey, we chose the band as our Artist of the Month. I talked to the 3 women in the band, Leslie, Rosie, and Kara at KUTX, and they all told me about songs that changed their lives, starting with Kara Tillman, who told me about a song that blew her mind when she was a young woman.
I chose Burn Down the Mission by Elton John. It's from Tumbleweed Connection. It's early 70s. And I think I like it because it just makes me feel elated.
You tell me there's an angel in your tree. Did he say he'd come to call on me?
It's very self-indulgent in just the best way. It's got like 4 key changes.
Burned out the mission.
Very large, bombastic instrumental breaks, one in the middle and one at the end. And it just makes me feel like joyriding. It makes me feel kind of the same things that, like, Queen's We Are the Champions, it makes me feel the same as, like, that. Like, I can take on the world. I don't know. I think when I was in my early 20s, I had just kind of accepted giving up my evangelicalism from when I was a child. Like, I had a kind of a restricted media environment as a kid. And I was, we went to church 3 times a week, grew up Baptist, didn't really watch TV and stuff. Things were kind of restricted. But thankfully, when my mother became born again at a very young age, she did not give up listening to rock and roll or like driving around and listening to rock and roll and feeling really good about it. So I mean, the song itself, if you were to take it literally, is probably about like income inequality, but the lyrics are, you know, broad enough to kind of put whatever meaning you want in there. And for me, it was being able to not be restricted anymore, like religiously or in a sort of just looking at the world. It kind of was just, it makes me feel like rebellious and big and like I can do whatever I want. Behind four walls of stone, the rich man sleeps. It's time we put the flame torch to their
asking, and you don't have to answer if
it's
too personal, but like what in your life led you to be able to walk away from something that was so central, the something that you had grown up in?
I think since I was a really small child, I had a really hard time. Like I worried about my eternal soul all the time. It was kind of a hard way to grow up. I don't think my parents intended that. I think it was just kind of like we accidentally created a monster because they were literalists, so when I would look at the Bible, I was like, this doesn't make sense. And then when I grew up a little bit, I was like, I have gay friends that I also don't like your perspective on this. And then I guess when I was somewhere in between 18 and 21, I decided that I didn't have to do that anymore. I didn't have to look at the world through that lens anymore.
When you were young and you were worrying about your eternal soul, was there a part of you that always felt like you wanted to rebel? Or did you just kind of put that part aside?
Yeah, that's kind of the thing. It's like I was kind of a scared kid and also just a really compliant child. I went and made straight A's and just did whatever my parents wanted me to do. I didn't rebel by partying or drinking or any of the other ways that people might typically rebel. But I feel like the outlet for me was just joyriding and listening to songs that made me feel elated, kind of like this song does. And that's it.
Joyriding, like just riding around in
just
the car,
just driving around in the country, just driving around. Like one time, I was driving around at 16, and I was listening to Bohemian Rhapsody, and just drove myself into a telephone pole. And I was not drinking; I was just really, just kind of being crazy and a teenager and excited, and you know, doing what I could to have some freedom, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like that was your first way out, your first taste of freedom was to be alone with this music, just letting it let you feel the way you felt.
Yeah.
I mean, that feeling, I feel like that feeling you're talking about that you had when you were joyriding, that's like the feeling that people, that you can have when you're on stage playing music, but it's also the feeling that people go to see live music for. It's like to have that feeling of release and mm-hmm. freedom and to see someone up on stage embodying that.
Yeah, and helping you feel that.
Yeah.
That I agree. It's also the feeling that you get in church. And you're worshiping, and that's where it is for me now. So that's how I feel about it.
I didn't grow up terribly religious. So that joyriding feeling is the same feeling you can get in, like, in the midst of worship and
stuff?
It's
a very similar feeling.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. For me, yeah. I think so.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So when you started playing music with people and in front of people, is that something you were able to access kind of easily? Were you able to get to that place of like, of freedom, of like, of letting go, of just enjoyment?
In the best moments, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's always a special moment in like pretty much every show where you're like, oh yeah, I'm really feeling that.
Yeah.
The spirit.
Oh, the spirit. I've never heard anyone describe it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that's like the feeling that you chase. You chase every performer.
Yes.
Chases, right?
Yeah. Everyone chases that.
And Burn Down the Mission puts you like, it puts you there.
Yeah.
Right on. Cool. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Guitarist Rosie Casto told me about a song that hit her at a much younger age.
So the song that I chose was Steam by Peter Gabriel. Peter Gabriel has been a part of my life since I was a little kid. Like, I remember at age 4 or 5, my 3 favorite bands were The Beatles, AC/DC, and Peter Gabriel. And it was because of what my parents showed me. My parents are huge music fans, and they were very, very generous in their education of showing me the classics, definitely so. So, with Steam, I have very clear memories of just being a little girl, and I remember they had Peter Gabriel's live performance of Secret World Live on VHS, and so we would watch that all of the time, and I just remember that specific song being my absolute favorite. Absolutely enthralled just by his stage performance, and not just him, but the entire band itself. I remember, if you watch the video, it's this big circular stage, and just the way he was able to move on it. And I mean, I was completely enamored by it and would love to watch him, and would almost even mimic his dance moves. I had this little stuffed dog. His name was Harry. And I would sit there and watch it, and I would make the stuffed dog dance along with him and do all the different dance moves he did. And now, you know, looking back on it as a performer, I'm always amazed when people can work the stage like that, and how they can, because sometimes, you know, you may not have a lot of room and you kind of have to figure out how to perform in that aspect. But then it's almost harder when you have so much room, because you have to use the entire stage. You have to move around a lot. And it can be a little intimidating. And I was always just amazed the level of performance that he would bring. You know you caught your phone, you trash. You know you passed it from your cash. Run outside of the track. You know the way back, but I know you. Now, though, it's a different appreciation. You know, for me and some of my favorite songs, definitely I really like the feelings that they invoke, but I also like looking at the musicianship of it. I remember when I watching that video again when I was a little bit older, once I had started playing bass guitar, I guess I must have been about 12 or 13, and watching that from a very different perspective. So from being a little kid to watching it just because it was really cool and this is what my parents wanted me to show me, to watching it to where I'm starting to idolize different musicians or appreciate the way that they play and the styles that they play. For example, Tony Levin, his bass player for many, many years, I remember being so enamored with the way that Tony Levin was playing the bass and just the different lines he did. And then as I got older and through School of Rock, I learned about his time in King Crimson and got very, very involved into listening to progressive rock and things like that. And I actually got to see King Crimson about 2 years ago when they were here at the Bass Concert Hall. And that was almost a dream come true for me. And just to specifically watch him play bass was amazing to me. So now, you know, when I listen to that song, it's more, I more appreciate all the technicalities of it and all the choices that he made in writing that song. And of course, all of his others as well. It's very smart musicianship to me. And I feel like I can appreciate it on many different fronts, because not only do I like the song itself, do I like the parts that are in it, but it also takes me back to being a little kid and, you know, listening to all this music on car trips or watching that VHS. Everybody knows that. Hold your breath, count to 5. Back slap, booby trap, cover it up in bubble.
shake, earthquake. Find a way to stay awake. It's gonna blow, it's gonna break. This is more than I can do.
It's almost like, you know, finding an old photo album of old childhood memories. So it's really, really cool that a song or an artist can bring you back to such a different periods of your life. I always found that to be such a an amazing power that music has. It's, you can really, really snapshot your life with it.
Won't you step into this cloud?
And finally, I spoke to Leslie Sisson, who told me about a song that she heard relatively recently, but that affected her very, very deeply.
This song is more like about this artist. You know, if there were this artist, this song podcast, it would be about an artist that has truly influenced me throughout my entire career and keeps influencing me even though he's gone. I grew up in a little town called Duncanville, Texas, just out of Dallas, and I had an okay childhood, but when my parents divorced, I had a pretty evil, he wasn't a stepfather, thankfully. He was like a drunken cowboy that my mom had around for a long time, and he was pretty abusive. And this was something that I kind of kept locked away for a long time. And when she finally stopped seeing him, she moved to Utah with this wonderful man, and she lived with him for a long time. So when I would go visit them, those airplane rides when I was like a little teenager with my guitar, I just remember finding music from mixtapes that people had given me and learning things on the airplane. And then when I'd get to my mom's house in their guest room, I would grab that guitar and I would learn songs from artists. And one in particular that stood out to me at the time and who was huge in my early stages of learning how to play guitar was Elliot Smith. The last time I sat with you, there was a guy named Ben who took me to a Bedhead show and introduced me to Bedhead over a mixtape. Same guy. My friend Ben from high school was always giving me mixtapes, and that's how I discovered Elliot Smith, probably, I don't know, 16, maybe 15. I still find things in his music that I connect with immensely. So this song that I chose is called Some Song, and I tried to pick something in my life that I'd recently connected with that opened a new floodgate.
It's a junky dream, makes you so uptight. Yeah, it's Halloween tonight and every night.
And I had no idea that Elliot Smith grew up in Duncanville, Texas, where I grew up. And he had an abusive stepfather. And he moved to Portland to be with his father when he was a teenager. And this song is about that. And I didn't know this until I got asked to do a tribute a few years ago after we got back from our first round of touring. Somebody asked me to do an Elliot Smith tribute, and I was like, I think I can do this. But then I'd started researching more, and that's when I found out. You know, I'd read his biography and everything. I don't know why I never knew he grew up in Duncanville, down the street from me, probably. Who knows? Drinking the same water, taking piano lessons from the same lady, probably, you know? It's not a very big town. But the fact that we had that same story and it's what got us out of that town and we wrote music because of it, it's the catharticism of his music that I connect with, and it made me feel less alone.
Help me kill my time, 'cause I'll never be fine. Help me kill my time.
I connected with this because it reminded me of me when I was a kid listening to songs like this, but and the feelings that I had back then, even though I didn't listen to the song until more recently. His stepfather's name is Charlie, and he says, Charlie beat you up week after week, and when you grow up, you're going to be a freak.
Charlie beat you up week after week, and when you grow up, you're going to be a freak. Want a violent girl who's not scared of anything.
That's exactly what my mother's boyfriend used to say to me. I mean, he would say, you're going to amount to nothing. I was a freak. I was a skater. I cut my hair into a mullet with a knife, you know. I wore pink Converse high tops, and people beat me up because they thought I was a little boy, you know. I was a little bit of a freak, but not a crazy freak because, you know, I didn't know what real freaks were, and I wish I'd been more freaky now. But I really felt like that I was being told that I was going to be nothing, and but it pushed me to be something. I'm not going to give that guy credit for it, but I'm just glad that my mother got away. And then because of her getting away and me flying to see her constantly, that's where Elliot Smith came into play, and didn't know until years later that we both were on that same journey.
You went down to look at old Dallas town, where you must be sick just to hang around. Seen it on TV, how to kill your man. And like AC,
this was before I started writing a lot of songs on this record. And these songs do have an extra level of catharticism and words that are a little bit more audible. Slowly, each time as these lyrics are coming out, the heart on my sleeve is showing more and more. And he was pretty straightforward about a lot of his stuff. And I was always had a hard time with that because I was so shy about putting myself out there. And so I'm sure that this was a huge influence on this current record. So, I mean, our songwriting styles are similar in some ways. You wouldn't know it, but they are.
So what is your process for writing the songs?
99% of the time, I sit down with my acoustic guitar and I'll record what I'm thinking. And then it just kind of like, I play it back, I listen, and then I just edit until I have the skeleton of a song. And those skeletons usually sound a lot like these old Elliott Smith demos. They all kind of start off that way, and then conceptually later they take on a new twist, and it keeps changing. The sound of this band is just growing.
Panoramas has changed over the years, with the addition of members, instruments, and voices. And some of those changes were driven by the fact that Leslie found herself experiencing some pretty intense health issues.
So far, it's just only 3 autoimmune diseases. No big deal.
3?
Usually when you have one, you have others if you're not lucky. But basically, your immune system is attacking good cells, thinking they're bad. The main one that I have is called Hashimoto's disease, and it's where my body... my immune system attacks my thyroid system. But the way I discovered it all was that my hair fell out. It looked like a reverse mohawk down the middle of my head. And it just looked like somebody just took a razor and just like shaved it. But you could see it was like patchy, and it just happened overnight. And that's when I was going to doctors, and nobody could figure it out. So that was alopecia areata. Doctors kind of started to figure that out, but then it led to discovering this Hashimoto's disease and then celiac digestive disorders, and I'm still trying to figure out what's going on with my joints, and I just finally got to see doctors last week, so I'm still figuring it out. So far, so good, knock on wood, but it's just one of those things. It's weird.
It wasn't just Leslie's health issues that drove the changes in the band. As Leslie says, it was a series of happy accidents.
Some happy accidents when I have to go to the ER because my hand has swollen up and I can't play. That you take in a pinch shredder, and then you decide, wow, we need another guitar player in the band. Another happy accident was we have pedal steel in the band now. And that was just because the country band couldn't play a show at the last minute, so the Panoramas came in and pretended to be a country band, and we just did our songs country. And I was like, wait a minute, you're staying in this band now, because he was in the other band, and now it's like they've merged as one. So there's some fun accidents that have happened, like the two guys, Jody and Jordan, the drummer and the bass player, they were just going to be fill-in on tour. And then everybody got busy. And so it was just kind of like stuck when we went on tour. So it's some of it's happy accidents and some of it's out of necessity. But the end product has been like no regrets, worth every moment of every pain and every joy. And now here we are.
Right on. And what's it like to share these songs that you kind of made, you write them in your house by yourself. You finally released this out into the world. Yeah. So how's it been for you guys?
I think it's been all right.
Yeah, it's been real fun.
It's actually been more than we expected, for sure. You know, just thought we'd put a record out, play a few shows, take some pictures, make a video. But I don't know. Everybody seems to be responding. So maybe this catharticism and connection thing that I've been working so hard to share is actually working. And that's the only thing that matters, is that people connect on the level that we do. So yeah. That's... And it sounds okay. Yeah. There's some songs you can dance to. Yeah, so we dance. We can dance on stage now. I mean, we could before, but now we can really dance. Mm-hmm. And we can also cry a little, you know? The best of both worlds.
You've got all the things that you guys talked about. You've got, like, the spirit. You've got the dance moves. And you've got the catharsis of Elliott Smith. So,
perfect. Yeah. Yes.
Sweet. Well, thanks, guys.
Thank
that
you.
That was awesome. Yeah.
This is ADD Heart from Moving Panorama's new record, Into. And I bet you want to hear more about this band. Well, just head to the show notes page for this episode at KUTX.org. You'll find a link to this record. You'll find a link to their Artist of the Month page. And you will find a link to the first episode we did with the band, back when they were the same band, but kind of a different band, you know? And as always, the show notes page will contain a Spotify playlist where you can hear all the songs we referenced in this podcast all the way through. And that's it. You have come to the end of another episode of This Song. This Song is a production of KUTX 98.9 in Austin, Texas. This episode was produced by Art Levy and me, Elizabeth McQueen. Thanks to our interns, Felix Kimbrell, Emily Wilson, Wes Sims, and Simone Puglia for all their help. Thanks to Deidre Gott and Peter Babb and Todd Callahan for all they do for this podcast. And it is true. Our theme song is Mahout by Austin's own Hard Proof. Right on. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time.